What freedom, what joy, what passion, what beauty. The things of this world don't matter, don't last. And it's the things we cannot see in Jesus Christ, what we know are true and exist. Those are the things that matter. Such a massive, massive moment of perspective and freedom. This is why we don't give up.
Hey everyone, good day to you. Thank you for tuning in here at Live in the Light. You are joining us now in a foundational series for believers from 2 Corinthians. We are looking together at the life of Paul. If you've read your Bible through the New Testament and know anything about the life of Paul, you know that his life wasn't easy. He started by persecuting Christians. Then God changed him in a big way on the road to Damascus. His turnaround made him a champion for the church, and we hold on to those principles and examples from his life. And friend, you can still apply them today. If you'd like to catch up with us and listen to all of the 2 Corinthians messages, you can do so on our Live in the Light podcast or at liveinthelight.ca. Today's message is called Five Powerful Reasons Why We Don't Give Up. Paul is regularly renewing his mind with what's most important, guiding us with his wisdom to a life of power and blessing in Christ. Sounds great, doesn't it? Let's get back into the message. Open your Bible with me if you can, and we will join Pastor Robbie in 2 Corinthians chapter 4.
It's like when you watch a recorded sporting event of one of your favorite teams, and you know they win. As you're watching, it doesn't matter how bad it gets in the middle, you know the outcome, so you're watching like this. Oh yeah, this is good, right? Like you're so not stressed because you know the outcome is certain. How much more should believers in Jesus Christ, when we are guaranteed the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will not give up in Jesus Christ and we will persevere for Jesus Christ because we know the victory is certain, okay? Listen, this is Paul's secret. This is what he knows. This is what he says right here within this text. Just think. I love what it says there too. Raise the Lord Jesus, will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Paul is obsessed with glory and the reality of the resurrected body and the reality of no more sin and no more sorrow, and everything that groans will be made perfect in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a good thing to think on, loved ones. It is a good thing to think on the coming glory and presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when Paul is low on encouragement fuel, this truth is his gas station, and it works really, really well. To think that one day soon, we will be brought as believers, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, one day soon we'll be brought into the presence of Jesus Christ. I want you to just think about that. It's coming soon. One day you will be brought into the very presence. I try to imagine this often. One day soon, loved ones, us, I'll just speak for me. I'm going to see Jesus. I try to imagine that moment where, Janice, that was so wonderful today. That was so wonderful. Yeah, we're just so thankful. All those who were baptized, it was so wonderful, so wonderful. My heart was so, so blessed by that. I'm so thankful. One day soon, my eyes are going to lock with the eyes of Jesus Christ. I try to imagine that moment. Like I'm going to see, he's going to look into my eyes, and he's going to pierce me with love, like a love that I never thought possible. I'm going to embrace him. I'm going to hug him. Like I just, and that's going to happen. That is not like, oh, I wonder what. No, it's going to happen for everyone who belongs and loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Like it melts me to think about that because it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what happens on this earth. Anyone clap for them? Clap for that? Doing that? I would probably clap for that as well. That's good. It doesn't matter what trials we face, what suffering, what difficulties, what hardship. It's going to happen. Paul knows this. This is what allows him to keep going. This is why he does not give up, because in the end, Jesus Christ will be worth it, right? So this is where we gaze so we don't give up and we persevere, right? As opposed to so many, here's a quote by Ken Hughes on the screen, just by way of perspective. He says, for most Christians, the contemplation of retirement trumps the contemplation of their ultimate destiny. For most, eschatology is defined by a single word, retirement. Isn't that so true? For most people, even believers, their eschatology is the last 10 to 20 years of their lives where they can sit around and just whatever, enjoy self. That's a ridiculous theology. Far more energy and thought is given to enhancing health and wealth of the final 20 years of earthly existence than to eternal existence. Hughes says this, clearly we are called to focus on future resurrection exaltation if we have any desire to live as we ought. If we have any desire to live as we ought, we do not focus on here now. We focus on what will be, which makes us more effective in the present right now. Why do we not give up? I know I will be raised with Christ. Number two, why do I not give up? Well, so that more lives would be changed for his glory. More lives would be changed for the glory of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15 now. It says, for it is all for your sake that so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. What a beautiful verse this is too. Paul says here, listen, he's like, I'm willing to suffer and I'm willing to endure so that more people will receive the grace of God. He's like, it's worth it. In 2 Timothy 2:10, Paul says this, listen. He says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. You see what he says there? It's all worth it. If more people know Christ, if more people are saved from hell, if more people know the grace of Jesus Christ for eternal life in him, I will endure everything for that. That's how much he loves the Lord and loves the lost. I'm willing to sacrifice my life if others will be saved again for all of eternity. Notice Paul's motivation. I keep going because God's grace extends to more and more people through my life and ministry. And why too? Because every life that is saved, church, every life that is saved is a life now that gives thanks and glory to God. Like every baptism we heard, every single one was, before Christ, I was dead. But now in Christ, I'm alive. Now I'm giving thanks and my life is giving glory to God. And we're all like, wow, that's awesome. That's awesome because that's what happens when God saves lives. So we are to be used to speak the message of Christ, to share the gospel, that more and more people will know Christ, and then God would get more glory as well. This is why we live life on mission. This is why right here, we are life on mission to share the message of Christ so people are saved and their lives then give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see here too, this is profound to me and very important. One of Paul's main strategies of not giving up and not losing heart is pouring himself out for others. Do you see that? This is how one of the main ways he doesn't give up, because his life is not about himself. It's interesting, in our world, the entire mindset is love yourself, feed yourself, rely on self. Pamper yourself. Just think about, you know, you being number one. But when you focus on self, that leads to misery and apathy. But notice here, when we seek first the kingdom, and specifically, we pour ourselves out for the blessing of others, what do we receive in return? The strength of God and the joy of God and the perseverance of God. Powerful, powerful truth. So you want to persevere, then you want to pour yourself into others with love and grace. Yesterday, I spoke at a young adults conference in Cambridge. It was by the Gospel Coalition. It was a real joy to be there and a real privilege to be there. And my text was Philippians chapter 1. And this is when Paul is wrestling with, if I die, I depart and I be with Christ, and that's far better. But if I live here for the fruitful labor among you. Like, I just love Paul. Like, Paul, he's such a blessing to me because he's having a conversation everyone can listen to. He's like, should I die? Should I live? Should I die? Should I live? He's like, well, I want to die because I'm with Christ. I'm like, yeah, that's absolutely. But if I live, then I preach the gospel. And he says, for the progress and joy of you all. That's a very healthy thought for me. Right? So we exist, we remain, he says, that others might be transformed in Jesus Christ. So hear me again. If you want to persevere and endure for Jesus Christ, do not live for yourself. Live for others. And that's a word for a lot of us right now, because it is better to give than to receive. And so we make it our mission to not be about ourselves, and we will find ourselves supernaturally encouraged and strengthened by the Lord Jesus Christ as he works in those who are about his kingdom. Very powerful strategy to not give up. So the strategy to endure is not sit by yourself and moan and self-pity and mope. No, it is to engage and to give to the kingdom. Reason number three why I don't give up. I am supernaturally being renewed daily. Oh, yes. Verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Why? Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Well, this is one of my all-time favorite verses. Maybe some of you agree with that as well. So this just in, ready? This just in, we're aging. We're aging. The outer self that Paul's referring to here is the physical body. Notice he says, it is wasting away. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for reminding us. Yes. This is especially true for Paul, though, right? In all the violent affliction that he was enduring. Like, his body was physically and literally being beaten down. But all of our physical bodies, we know, are wasting away. Yes, our world obsesses with trying to prevent aging, but it cannot. It's a ridiculous pursuit of that. But in the end, listen, in the end, we know this. Every single body is slowly but surely breaking down until death. We all know that. Literally, what this is wasting away, it means we are slowly but surely decaying. I hate to be so blunt, but that's what's happening. We are all decaying. I used to be able to bend down without grunting. Like when I started this church, I was just a different physical person. Like I used to be able to run without pulling a hamstring. Check that. I used to be able to run, right? young people right now, I just encourage you, just try to stay humble because your turn's coming, okay? Like, it is coming. Like, I was where you were once too, and I'm not anymore. And, things are just going to get worse from here. But there's so much hope, right? Here's the extraordinary power. Though the outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. The inner self is the heart of the person in Jesus Christ. The believer in Jesus Christ has been born again, right? We have received new spiritual life. We are new creations, testified today through baptism. And this inner self, that is what is made new in Christ. This is the part of us that will never, ever die and one day be joined again to our new, glorified, resurrected bodies as well. But until that time, listen, we are being made newer day by day. I've always loved this verse, and I've always loved to point out the only aspect of all of creation that is aging but actually becoming newer is the believer in Jesus Christ. Think about that. That's awesome theology, okay? Everything else is aging and dying. Every part of creation, all the vegetation, all the animals, whatever it is, right? And unbelievers, they are aging to death. They are not becoming newer. The only aspect in all of creation that is growing older but newer every single day is the genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a very, very encouraging truth. Overall, or outwardly, wasting away. Inwardly, getting closer to glory each day. And I love too, it says, and day by day. See that? So what does that say to us? That every single day, the comfort and grace of God meets us. So whether you feel like it or not, when you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, every single day, your soul, your inner self is advancing. It is advancing towards the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful, powerful, powerful truth. Some days you don't feel that way at all. I know, I get it. But the reality is, it is happening. And when we see this and focus on this, then it gets us very, very excited. And this is why we don't lose heart, because we are supernaturally being renewed. Listen, if you want to lose heart, if you want to be depressed, then obsess over your external body. Okay? If you want to be depressed and you want to be miserable, then obsess over your physical body. If you want to persevere and you want to not lose heart, right? I'm not saying don't take care of yourself. I believe in that. You know, just to a degree. But if you want to have joy, if you want to be renewed, if you want to see God strengthen your life, then you focus on the fact that your inner self is being renewed day by day. Reason number four, we don't give up. My trials are preparing me for glory. My trials are preparing me for glory. Look at verse 17. It just keeps going. It's just amazing. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Paul says here, for this light momentary affliction. Again, this is where, like, first principles, I love Paul so much. Why? He sees so clearly. He's like, this light momentary affliction. Now, I would not call Paul's afflictions that we have learned about as light and momentary. But apparently he would. Again, I want to remind you, and 2 Corinthians 1, he says these afflictions were so severe that he despaired of life itself. So I don't know about you, but that does not sound light and momentary. But again, look at what Paul does in verse 17, okay? His wisdom and strategy, right, is to not give up due to his afflictions, his severe afflictions. He's like, I will not give up in light of my afflictions, and we call them severe. How does he do that? How does he not give up, even though he is being stoned at times? He is receiving the 40 lashes minus one. That does not sound light and momentary. How does he do that when he is going through, again, forms of hunger and shipwrecks and sleepless nights and massive false accusation and so on and so forth? Just unbelievable. How does he do it? Here's how. Perspective. Perspective. I'm addicted to biblical perspective. It is so massively encouraging. What do you mean? Right in verse 7, in one verse, watch. In one verse, watch. Momentary versus eternal. The lightness of current trials versus the weight of glory that is coming. And then the affliction he experiences versus, again, the reality of the glory that is promised to him. This is Paul's power in his life. Momentary light affliction versus the reality of glory, which is carries the weight of then lasts for all of eternity. So that's all in just verse 17, by the way. You can just draw those parallels right there. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us for an eternal weight of glory that is beyond all comparison. Is that verse underlined in your Bible? You should do that. In fact, you should underline every verse in this passage today. They should all be there. Circle and highlight and asterisk and exclamation marks. I like exclamation marks. Have you figured that out yet? I love exclamation marks. And they deserve a bunch right here, again, within this text. So don't miss this, okay? Verse 17. This affliction, he says, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. Learn, loved ones, learn. Ready? Affliction, suffering, hardship, trials are one of God's main tools of preparing us and shaping us for glory. So you can say it this way, no affliction, no preparation, no trial, no shaping, no suffering, no substance. This is the design of God. Doesn't that make you look at trials and hardship and suffering different than you would without it? Like when we desperately just want ease and comfort and luxury and whatever it is and just the smooth roads that have no troubles. Doesn't it make you change your mind about that? And all of a sudden you see that God's design, which is all over Scripture, is that he uses suffering to shape us, to prepare us for the glory that is to come. Isn't that amazing? You know, in some way, and this is definitely true, in some way, there will be a direct correlation between the suffering endured for Christ here on earth and the glory that will be revealed. In some way, there's going to be a direct correlation. So again, I want to be careful on one level, but I got to speak the truth too. Like, so believers that have no risk for Christ, no sacrifice for Christ, just playing it easy, lukewarm, mediocre, laissez-faire living, in some way they are giving up a sense of the preparation for glory that is to come. I don't think you'll be disappointed in the end, but in some way, there's going to be a difference of some. Again, it's hard to understand exactly what this is going to look like, but we're being taught right here that the one correlates again with the other. And the wording here in the Greek where it says eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, you see that beyond all comparison there? It's a tremendously strong statement in the Greek, meaning you cannot overstate the glory that is coming. You cannot overstate it. So I want you to do a little exercise right now. I want you to try to imagine the glory that will be revealed to you with Christ. Just take a moment. Just try to imagine. He says, in preparing us for the weight of glory beyond all comparison. What does that look like? Just you close your eyes. Do whatever you want. Just what does that look like? What is the glory beyond all comparison look like? So whatever you're imagining right now, you're not even close, okay? Like, good try, okay? It is infinitely beyond whatever you can imagine in the good. And this is what is coming to all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, trials are hard. Trials are heavy. Mine too. There's suffering, there's pain, there's heartache, and there's oppression. But here's the truth. Compared to the glory to come, the afflictions of this world is like comparing a cup of water to the Pacific Ocean. And probably even greater than that. It's not even worth comparing in the end. He is going to be worth it. Okay, now when do we get to this place? Perspective. Perspective is when we get there. Everyday loved ones, we need a cup of perspective. This is your cup today. You're getting it from 2 Corinthians 4, okay? I got a cup earlier this morning in Matthew 25. I was reading through Matthew 25 in my own Bible readings. In Matthew 25, that's the parable of speaking of when the bridegroom is coming, and there you have the bridesmaids, and then they're getting ready, and watch therefore, for Christ is coming back at an hour you not expect. It's a perspective. He's coming. Get ready. He's coming, right? So every day we need a cup of perspective. A lot of us right now, every day we drive through Tim Hortons drive-thru, get a cup of coffee. Some of us prefer Starbucks. We go there, get a cup of coffee, one way or another. That's fine, okay? But more than that, you need a cup of perspective, okay? Every single day you live, you need a cup of perspective to remind you again of what matters most. And this will cause you to not lose heart. Reason number 5, our last one. My vision is eternal. My vision is eternal. This is why we do not give up. Look at verse 18. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. This meant so much. This verse meant so much to me when I was first saved. And I found out it was there because, you know, for my whole life, I thought it was all about what was seen. Right? It's all about the world and all about, again, possessions and all about status and all about whatever. And all of a sudden you find Christ and you're like, wait, that doesn't matter? It's like, yes! That's awesome. What freedom, what joy, what passion, what beauty. The things of this world don't matter, don't last. And it's the things we cannot see in Jesus Christ, what we know are true and exist. Those are the things that matter. Such a massive, massive moment of perspective and freedom. This is why we don't give up. We look at that which we and ultimately cannot see, at least yet. So what Paul could do, right, he's saying, he could spend all his time looking at darkness and trials and evil and distractions, but all those are transient. All those are temporal. It is the fool who spends all her life gazing on that which will not last. But the wise and the mature, they set their eyes on that which will last forever. One of the things I want to leave you with here today, notice this. I want us to see is what we look to is what we become. What we look to is what we become. And listen, and that will decide whether or not we endure. See how strongly, if we look to the world, man, it's really unlikely we're going to persevere. We look to Christ, we're guaranteed to persevere. What we look to, what we gaze on, what we pay attention to is what captures our heart, okay? So this is why in our day, scrolling, for the most part, is so devastating because we are looking to, just one example among thousands, but we're looking at things that are absolutely, for the most part, entirely transient, temporal, superficial, shallow, and meaningless. And so we look to that, we are addicted to a thing like a device, and we start to become the things that we are looking at. And the more we're looking at that, the more we're not looking at Christ. We don't look at Christ, and we know we have no chance of becoming like Christ. So this is where, again, the wisdom right now, the wisdom, and it's amazing, the people who look at such things are people who look and obsess over possessions that are so paltry, right? This is why they are miserable, and this is why they fail, because they are gazing upon that which is empty and useless in the end. Again, just a moment of just clarity. Church, like, let's not be surprised when our gaze is not on Christ and we're so weak in faith. Let's not be surprised when we spend the majority of our time looking at things like social media or the world or worldliness or entertaining ourselves to death and we have no hunger for Jesus Christ. How could we have hunger for Jesus Christ when we never actually feed on Jesus Christ, right? This is what Paul's saying right here. The wise and those who don't give up will look to Jesus. You look to Jesus, you look to glory. You look to glory, you look to heaven. We look for the return of Christ. It's amazing, eh? So again, in the context of this, comfort, the pursuit of our personal comfort, is a fog that limits our vision in life. We cannot see clearly. Suffering is used by God to bring a wind that clears the fog away. And all of a sudden now, in suffering and hardship, now I see what I'm supposed to see. We want comfort, fogs our lives. Suffering is the Holy Spirit blowing a big wind through our lives. All of a sudden now, we can see who we are meant to be and who we are to pursue in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Paul's getting at. And ironically and amazingly, it's things like suffering that allow us to see and then live and then experience the grace and the joy and the glory of the Lord. So this is life-changing. And just to recap, just as we finish here right now too, this is our, I want to see this, okay? Five powerful reasons we don't give up. Love, and somehow, some way, you have to be mindful of this. I would suggest to you on a daily basis. I think about these things, yeah, like probably several times a day. Like it just becomes part of me. Always contrasting, always repenting, always thinking, always whatever. Somehow, some way, you have to get this in your life. And if you do, you will know God's power. If you do, you will not give up. If you do, God will use you. If you do, you will be blessed. A lot of you are taking pictures. I would too. Write it down there and write it down on your heart. You don't graduate from this today. You start again tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And then one day soon, we'll be in the presence of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, eh? And it'll all be worth it one day, amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for right now. Thank you. Thank you for your word. I just love your word. I love you. I love your word. I love your truth. I love your Holy Spirit. I love how you care for us. I love how you do not leave us on our own. I love how you guide us. I love how you want us to persevere and you will cause us to by your Spirit. I love, 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 love. And I pray that your church will love you in this way as well too. I pray for men and women and children here that will be robust and strong for Jesus Christ now and in the decades to come. Lord, make us men and women of wisdom. Wisdom. You are giving us your wisdom, your truth, all because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray we would not waste this. No, Lord. Again, encourage us greatly now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friend, if you feel like you need to talk to somebody about what you've heard today, at Live in the Light, we are here for you. Please call us with your questions at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. Or fill out the contact form on our website at liveinthelight.ca. We are so excited to hear from you. I wanna-